Chapter 7. The Missing Diamonds. The next evening, D'Artagnan was sitting in his lodgings with Athos, Porthos, and Aramis. He was telling them about the secret meeting in the Palace of the Louvre. "Are you saying," boomed Porthos, crashing his fist on the table, "that the Queen of France was as close to you as I am now?" "Actually, there was a wall between us," admitted D'Artagnan. Athos, who was always wise and cool-headed, frowned. "Watch your back," he warned D'Artagnan. "If the cardinal finds out you were involved, he'll have you arrested." At that moment, there was a frantic knocking on D'Artagnan's door. D'Artagnan opened it a crack. Behind him, the three musketeers had already drawn their swords. D'Artagnan peered out. Two eyes, of the deepest blue, peered back. "Madame Bonacieux," he cried. He threw the door wide open, his heart pounding. "I've come to ask you a great favour," she began. "I'll do anything for you," cried D'Artagnan rashly. "It's the Queen who needs your help," said Madame Bonacieux. "I wouldn't ask, since you're hardly a man yet, but the Queen is desperate." "Oh," said D'Artagnan, crushed to find that his beloved thought him little more than a child. "You'd better come in," he said, crestfallen. But Madame Bonacieux shrank back when she saw three armed men inside. "It's all right," D'Artagnan assured her. "These men are my friends. They are King's musketeers, sworn to defend the Queen to the death." "King's musketeers," said Madame Bonacieux. She came hesitantly into the room. Her gaze swept over them. Could they be trusted? She decided she had no choice. "Gentlemen," she said, "your queen is in deadly danger." She told them all about the diamond necklace, how in 4 days from now the queen had to wear it at the ball, how the queen was sure this was the cardinal's wicked scheme. "He'll use the missing diamonds to ruin her," said Madame Bonacieux. "He may even demand her death."
"So her majesty must get them back," said Aramis in his quiet voice, "in time for the ball."
"That's right," said Madame Bonacieux. "But Buckingham is already back in London, so someone must ride like the wind to get the diamonds. It will be very dangerous. The Queen's enemies are everywhere."
"I'll go," cried D'Artagnan, suddenly cheering up. After all, an adventure like this would really impress Monsieur de Tréville. "He's bound to make me a musketeer," thought D'Artagnan, "if I come back alive." Then a calm voice interrupted his dreams of glory. "We'll all go," said Athos. "Our young friend will need some help."
"I agree," roared Porthos. "All for one and one for all."
"Then you must start now," said Madame Bonacieux. She pulled the letter from her cloak. "Here's the Queen's letter to Buckingham. It has her personal seal. It asks him to give her messenger the two diamonds." "I'll take it," D'Artagnan stuffed the Queen's letter inside his doublet. The four sprang into action and clattered down the stairs to get ready for their journey. Madame Bonacieux slid out after them, put up the hood to her cloak, and vanished like a ghost down a dark alleyway. Across the street, hidden in a doorway, one of the cardinal's spies saw them all leave. He'd been watching Madame Bonacieux's house for some time. "Those musketeers are the Queen's messengers," he thought. "I'm sure of it." And he rushed off to tell Rochefort. At 2 o'clock in the morning, D'Artagnan and the three musketeers left Paris. They were a splendid sight, on fine black horses and armed to the teeth. They rode through the night like shadows, swift and silent. They were heading for Calais, where they would catch a boat to England. What they didn't know was that Rochefort had already made plans to stop them.